Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Sherlock's podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Hello and welcome to the Sherlock's team podcast with me, Heather Steele. Today I'm joined by Vanessa Menrad and Maya Lucky. Welcome, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
So as Charlotte explained when she hosted the podcast last week, we've had a little bit of a refresh, sort of adjusted it up slightly. We've got some new, more streamlined sections and yeah, we're currently seated at this lovely table. It is a temporary setup. The studio and podcast space is getting a nice facelift. So hopefully that will be ready for us to be in a couple of weeks. But for now we're here. I'm liking the table. I know the girls did last week, but yeah.
I feel like a presenter at a TV show.
Exactly.
Like the weather
news channel. Yeah,
yeah, I'm the weather lady.
Yeah. Weather news presenter. There we go. So the first section is new and noteworthy. Maya, I'm going to come to you first for two or three things you're really liking at the moment.
I mean, if you follow me on Instagram, I post about it like every other day, so sorry, but I'm obsessed with FS8 Pilates.
Yes, tell me about this, because I've sort of seen it, but I want to know like exactly what it is.
Yeah, sure. So it's a reformer Pilates studio. They have a bit of a unique mix throughout the week of classes that go from anything from sort of like stretching, if you want to just like lengthen your limbs. Then they do these blast ones. They're quite
That sounds like it.
I'm going to the stretching one.
Yeah. And then they have the original, which is my favourite, and then a remix, which is basically a mixture of all of those classes into one.
Nice.
I've always enjoyed going to the gym, but I have to say I've never found something that makes me really like addicted to working out. And this does that. Like I get really excited to go.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I started going to Reformer Collective because they've opened a studio in Brighton.
Yes.
I've never done any Reformer stuff at all. I've done sort of at-home yoga and Pilates, which obviously isn't the same. But I think I've done 7 Reformer classes now. And again, it's the same thing. Like I'm going at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's a half hour walk away to go to these classes.
Yeah, same. It's 30 minutes from where I live as well.
Yeah.
But you still feel like motivated.
I'm motivated by it.
Honestly, is unheard of for me. And I think it's that same thing. I feel like I've finally found something that I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to try that.
I've given up on the gym.
I'm like, I just actually said that to a friend the other day. It's just like no motivate. Like I go, you do your workout, you go back home. There's no like excitement about it. So this sounds very lovely.
Yeah. And I love it. I'm so into the Pilates lifestyle. You also don't have to wear trainers to the gym, which is great.
That's true. Have you got the grippy socks?
Yeah,
I haven't yet because they give you these little sort of grippy mats. But I was like, if I get to my end of the 10 classes and I still really enjoy it, I shall buy some grippy socks.
Yeah. Yeah, they are essential, to be fair. My ones that I was using started to go a bit less grippy and that makes it 10 times harder.
Yeah.
Slipping off the reformer machine.
Extra,
No, I love it. It's so good. And then my other thing that I'm loving, it's called polynucleotides.
Yes. So you spoke about it briefly to me last week. And then even since then, I've seen like features about it.
I think once you hear the word, you start seeing everywhere because it is kind of like the new buzz thing in aesthetics, I suppose. It's not a filler. It doesn't change the shape of your face in any way. It's not like Botox where it freezes your face and then in the hope to look younger, etc. It's an injectable that is, I believe, is a bio stimulator. So it is actually a derivative from salmon DNA, which sounds a bit scary.
And that's what people are like, like some people said like the fish sperm injection.
Yes.
I don't think it's got anything to do with
I don't know the exactly the breakdown
part, but that's what it's been sort of like buzzily sort of
exactly
build as.
But you can get it injected anywhere. It stimulates the collagen process in your skin, so effectively it brightens, illuminates any sort of dullness that you want.
See.
So I've had 2 rounds of it so far under my eyes.
Okay.
I've got one more round to go.
Thank you very much. So under here?
Yeah.
And what's the idea there that it might get rid of any dark circles?
Yeah, exactly. So darkness, it does help with fine lines, but it's not like a filler, like I say. Mm-hmm. It just gives you sort of like that youthfulness back.
Is it like a long lasting thing, or is it just you'd have to redo it like with fillers?
You know? It's actually longer lasting than most other injectables because, I mean, Botox wears off around sort of 12 weeks, and based on your metabolism as well, it doesn't last as long if you've got a fast metabolism.
Oh, interesting.
Fillers do dissolve over time, and they also shift around your face, which can lead to like looking a bit different.
Yeah.
But this actually does last quite a long time, only because it's kickstarting something that is a natural process right. in you already.
So just sort of accelerating yeah. something that you want is all, to happen naturally.
Exactly. Okay. At the age of 30 something, it's all stopping, so I'm like, I want to keep it going for as long as possible.
Fair enough.
Amazing. So yeah, you'd recommend?
Yeah, highly recommend. I think it's great.
Are you happy to say where you got it from?
Yes.
Or have you got any recommendations?
Yeah,
people are interested.
I go to Dr. Senna. She's just opened actually a new boutique in Barnes. It's very beautiful. Nice. I highly recommend her.
Lovely.
Nice.
Great.
Vanessa, cool. What are your new and noteworthy suggestions?
Okay, well, first of all, I started watching Ripley this weekend.
Oh, wow. I haven't got around to watching it yet. I really want to, but I just haven't had any like dedicated time.
Well, I've had quite a few chats with a few friends about their opinions as well,
yeah.
because I find it quite interesting, especially in comparison to the original movie.
Which everyone who's seen it loves.
Yeah, and it's obviously a very scenic movie. Mm-hmm. It's very charming characters. Yeah. I mean, you know, Jude Law. So.
I'd say he's never looked better, but Jude Law in The Holiday for me
yeah.
is awesome.
I mean, that's got the tan and yeah. the blondish hair.
There's
and
scene
the very
the
rich
bath.
Vibes. Yeah. I would move to Italy for that. Anyway, so like, you know, you have that sort of movie, and then you start Ripley, which is obviously in black and white, which got a lot of comments. Yeah. It turns out the director thought it's because it's quite a dark story. He didn't want people to be distracted by the color of this beautiful Italian seaside town. So he takes that element away of it. When you watch it, all you think is like, I really want to see this in color. So I will say, I've watched 3 episodes so far. It's very different from the movie.
Yeah.
Like the base storyline is obviously the same, but it starts with the characters. Like Tom's character is so different.
Yeah.
He keeps messing little things
up. Not like, so talented.
Yeah.
yeah.
And obviously there's the famous boat scene,
yes.
which everyone's yeah. seen in the movie and in the TV show. It is so different. It has whole other... I don't want to give it away
because
we were so shocked when we were watching it. We were like, what is happening here right now?
Wow.
It turns into this... It's almost like weirdly comedic, but in a very dark way. It's not something for people who want that like fast, like gripping,
mm-hmm.
very much like, oh my God, I want to watch the next episode. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like the scenery is beautiful.
Even the shots from it in
yeah.
the media pack, I was like, ooh, what
exactly,
is this? A month ago, it was like very stylish.
And there's a sort of system to it. Like there's these shots every now and then where it's just like, he's like filming from below to the top of like, and you can just see the top of buildings. That keeps happening.
Mm.
So I recommend watching it on a quite big screen.
Yeah.
Like don't watch it on your phone.
Yeah.
Watch it on a nice big screen. I do think Andrew Scott is doing a great job at giving him a new sort of character.
Yeah.
Because obviously we don't want to see the same thing again.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, like, because, lots of people have seen the film, and sometimes it can be tricky if you've known and loved something to then delve into a longer series. So do you think it's different enough that it will sort of hold interest in?
Yeah, it's very different. It's very different. There's a lot of things... Like, it starts very different.
Yeah.
The reason why he goes to Italy is a complete different one. To me, it's enough difference to still enjoy it.
Oh, sold it.
That is number one. Then a product I've been enjoying is the... I don't know. I mean, I would say Naturium. It's the KP body scrub and mask.
Mm.
So I've got keratosis pilaris, and I know a lot of people have.
Is that the bumpy?
Yeah, it's like bumpy dry skin.
Yeah.
A lot of brunettes get it. It's like my doctor once called it the freckles for brunettes.
Oh, interesting.
It's like,
yeah.
And it's just, it gets a bit annoying, especially in summer. You want to like have nice and soft skin.
I see.
And I've been using that. I just use it once, twice per week. And then, I mean, obviously if you go in the sun afterwards, you have to put some sunscreen on because it's like a micro exfoliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But honestly, the difference it's made, my skin is so soft.
Oh.
So I thought I have to mention it for all the other KP girlies out there.
Yeah.
Also before tan. Perfect.
Oh, that's
you're so smooth afterwards, and then you put that tan on, and honestly, no problem. And I'm really scared of tanning, so like for me, it's, this is perfect. But yeah, so that was a second thing. And then finally, last but not least, another thing I thought might be nice for people that might feel similar or have similar experience. So I've struggled a bit over the last month with, I've had depression in the past and I've been in therapy for years now. So recently I've had a death in the family and, you know, sometimes it happens with these sort of things, you're actually fine and then there's a tipping point and you just kind of fall back into a hole a little bit.
I think something like a family death can, I know when my grandma died, it really affected me.
It can really affect you. And I'm the kind of person, I don't let myself grieve as much and then it hits me harder like later on. Yeah. But I didn't expect I was just going to like, you know, fully fall back like with my whole mental health. Like, because you could put a whole lot of work in.
Yeah.
And then, but because like now I've learned quite a lot about coping mechanisms and how to kind of like differentiate your emotions and your simple functions of your body, like I actually like got out of it quite efficiently, I'd say, and I thought it would be really nice to share a little bit of that.
Please do.
In case, because I know there's a lot of people, especially right now, I feel like there's a lot of people with the weather changes, you know, you're into the year now long enough for you to be a bit like, oh my god, am I going to achieve my goals for the year? I think people just start struggling.
There's a lot of heaviness in the news as well, like there's lots,
exactly, there's a lot of uncertainty. So things first, you have to let yourself, like in my case, grief, you have to let yourself be sad for a little bit. I think let yourself have it and then take little steps. Like there is no point being like, I'm going to do exercise now, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. It's just going to, like, you're going to fall back like straight away. And then for me, the most important thing was exercise. And I'm not saying you have to like go to the gym. What I did is go on little walks.
Yeah.
And then I started running, but I would run without a timer, without a, you know, you just jog a little bit. And that really helps like to keep like the negative emotions at bay. And because like we get so exhausted from all the emotions inside of us that like when you do exercise, you kind of release a little bit of it. You don't have to think for a moment. You can just like do that.
Yeah.
And that really helped. Like for me, that was like the starting point of, okay, I can get out of this. Like it felt like a little achievement. And that's the next thing, little achievements. You make a list, the list is long, you freak out, you don't do anything of the list, and then you're back in bed. That's like an issue that I struggled with a lot. So I started, and this is actually advice from my therapist, you make the list shorter. What is the things you actually like urgently need to do?
Yeah.
And when you tick a thing off, you're excited about that. It's like you've done a thing and that's okay. Like you can't get everything done, but you do it like step by step. And even the little things like watering the plants, that's a task done. I mean, these are the bit more obvious ones, which I think a lot of people struggle with, but it's like one of the most important ones is eating healthy or trying to eat healthy. Because the issue is like, okay, we're emotional. We want to like, we want a McDonald's. We want to, but if you don't like give your body what it needs, how can you expect your brain to give you any sort of like help with what you're struggling or dealing with? And same with alcohol intake.
Yeah.
And now that one is a big problem, because usually when people are upset, what's the first thing you think about? Like, oh, drinking my problems away. Let's go to the pub.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, exactly.
This is my big problem. But like, from time to time, it's always the same thing. It gets better for a bit and then it gets worse. Like I would come home, like, and this is when I kind of realized, okay, you need to like change something. Like, you know, I'd come home drunk and then I take my makeup off and then I'm suddenly in tears. Like I just cry my eyes out. It comes back to you and it haunts you in a way. So like sometimes you just have to like put it aside for a bit. Like you can keep drinking, but like just for a little bit, maybe like ease off a little bit, you know. And that really helped me. Also, another thing for me is paranoia. Like when I get depressed, what starts to happen is I'll come to work and someone will just like, you know, maybe like be busy or like not say hi, and I'll be like, oh my god,
you're convinced. You've done something.
And that's a really important thing to compartmentalize, like to not like expect your emotions to be kind of transferred to other people. You know, the way someone else says something to you in your head might come across a certain way, but like you kind of have to like back off of that and be like, I'm in a bad place right now, I can't take these things too seriously, because they probably didn't say it that way, but my brain just kind of accepted it in that way.
How do you tell yourself that? Is it literally speaking to yourself and saying,
Well, so my therapist actually gave me a great tip for that. When someone, especially when someone emails you or messages you, but like it also works in conversation, read it in three ways.
Oh, yes.
Or like
Charlotte
say it
says
back
her
to
dad
you.
Says
yeah.
that as his top
like,
tip
yeah,
as well.
It's like, yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. And the second
more
one is fact,
than
yeah,
this.
Fact
yeah.
from fiction. Mm. It's always like the number one. Like, is it like because someone said, hi, how are you, in a funny tone? Is that because they don't like me? Or is that because they are having a bad day? You know,
yeah.
like, I don't know that. Mm-hmm, so... Mm-hmm. Why would I start like worrying about that? That is none of my concern right now. Like, I need to keep, you know, and that's what I mean with compartmentalize, like sticking to like your lane for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and so these are the sort of things, like, for me that get the ball rolling. And I do know for all those things to happen, you need to decide that they're going to happen.
Yes,
and that's
of course,
the, that's,
yeah
that is the thing. I can say all the things, you can do all the things, but you need to be ready to like start doing them, and it will like, you know, hurt a little bit in the beginning, but it will get better very quickly.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
amazing.
I mean, I hope.
No, thank you for sharing.
There.
My three things aren't, I feel like mine sound like really boring and uninspiring compared to yours, but never mind. One, I never thought I'd say this, but I bought a pair of Crocs last week.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Stop.
Don't think I'd ever say that sentence either.
I like an ugly shoe, but for me, Crocs have just always been, and I'm just like, I will just never wear a pair.
They're garden shoes to me.
Or like, I wore a pair when I did like some white water rafting, and even putting those on, I was like, I swore I'd never wear one, but obviously it was
Gen
fine and good.
Gen Z love them.
But yeah, then it was announced a few weeks ago that Simone Rocha was doing a Crocs collaboration, and I've got to say I was quite interested. So I did that usual thing, like set a notification on my phone being like, right, they go on sale at 12, let's get a pair. But then what I actually thought was really good, I hadn't seen it happen before, maybe it's more common than I thought, but you know when like these sort of big launches go on sale and it is just almost a fastest fingers first kind of thing, and it's
like a Taylor Swift concert
or anything like clothing drops, you're just like, oh yeah,
yeah,
you do feel like you're trying to like go to Glasgow or something just to get a pair of shoes or whatever it might be. But I got to they all sold out on the Simone Rocha website, honestly, within seconds. I was like, I got it in my bag, then it was gone. Then I saw on the Crocs website, you essentially sort of got, you could add in what size you wanted, which pair, and then you had to put in like your email address, your bank details, like everything, your address, as you would if you were buying them. And then they sort of entered you into a draw.
Oh, yes, I do this
that.
For trainers.
Yeah, see, maybe it is just a shoe thing, because I don't buy
that's
shoes
really
that
nice.
Often.
That's
I've,
really fair.
I've never done that before, but it did feel... Yeah. fair, because usually with that you're like, oh, some people who don't even want them have bought them, they're
like
gonna be on
pairs,
eBay
yeah.
like, you know, for three times the price, you know, by Friday sort of thing.
Yeah,
a bad thing happened in the sense that I won a pair. Well, I even can't win, but anyway, I got a pair, got the email, and I was like, woohoo, I've got them. I also don't know if they'll actually fit, because Croc sizes are really weird. It's M something, W something, and it's like, could fit a man's 5 or a women's 7.
Oh, they don't have
normal
sizes.
No.
That's how little we know about Crocs.
Well, I know, well, that's why I'm like, I don't even know if I've got the right size. Then like 10 minutes afterwards, I got another email, and I'd got the second pair as well. So now I've got, they haven't arrived yet, but I've got two pairs of Crocs.
Oh my God.
It's almost £500 just like disappeared out my bank account, which was definitely not meant to happen.
Are you going
to
wear them to the office?
If they fit. I mean, yeah, this is the thing. I am actually really excited, because I never, like, a tombola, a raffle, I never win anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
But
so
it's one of those, you enter them, you think like, oh, I haven't spent any money and I'm not going to win anyway. And then when the money comes out, you're like,
I know.
Oops.
I like,
whoops.
And I definitely won. I mean, it sounds gross. I like them. But one's got a heel.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
So how big a heel are we talking?
Well, I don't know, because I'm a bit crap in heels as well. So let's see. I mean, if they have Crocs, I'm like, hopefully they'll be comfortable.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, once they've arrived, I'll see if they fit, like... see which ones I might keep. I mean, I'd like to keep both, but let's see. If for whatever reason I can't walk in them, they're the wrong size, then look on the Sherlock's pre-love community, because I'll probably end up popping them on there. Gone from zero Crocs to potentially two
pairs.
Yeah, maybe wear them on the next podcast if they fit and look good. But yeah, that's one of my new noteworthy. Another was, I went to a dinner the other day for a new non-alcoholic wine alternative, which is an Australian brand called Non, so N-O-N. Lots of non-alcoholic drinks are made a bit like decaf coffee, where they make the product and then remove the alcohol. in the same way lots of decaf coffee remove the caffeine after it's been made, whereas these ones have just never got any alcohol in at any stage. So they're using lots of tea. Some of them are a little bit like kombuchas and just like lots of other ingredients to kind of give each bottle an interesting note to it. Or just make, you know, sometimes when you have non-alcoholic drinks, it does just taste like you're having a fizzy drink.
Yeah, and that was going to be my question, because I've actually never drunk a low or non-alcoholic wine that tastes like wine.
So these, I would say, that's why they're calling it a wine alternative. Right. They don't taste like wine. Like, you're not like, ooh, but they can be paired with food like wine would. So they've got one that was like, we started with a sort of fizzy rosé type, which is really nice for like raspberries in, which was nice. It smelt really fruity, but wasn't really sweet. And then there was a sort of a white sparkling, a sort of orange wine sort of style. And then an amazing one at the end, which was, it had coffee in, a bit of cold brew coffee, and then we were all drinking it, and I was like, oh great, I'm not going to sleep tonight. But actually I did. But it had loads of other things like cherry stones, cocoa, like lots of little things. But again, it was like a really nice sort of like after meal drink. Yeah. But yeah, the branding's really cool. The founder's interesting. It's got an interesting story. But yeah, if you're looking for a non-booze drink, I would recommend. And then thirdly, wanted to talk about Camille, which is an amazing new restaurant that's opened in Borough Market.
I'm excited to go here. I've got a booking this weekend.
Have
for
you?
It.
Oh, it's really, really top notch. So it's the same team behind Duck Soup, which is a really another amazing restaurant that people have loved for years and years. Yeah. But it's essentially a sort of lovely French bistro-y, relaxed experience. It's not, I'm sure they've got good non-alcoholic wines there, but they did have a really, really interesting wine list, which was great. The food's amazing. It's like the best steak tartare I've had in a really long time.
I love steak tartare.
You know, sometimes, for me, with a steak tartare, I can only have like one or two. So I'm looking at you, Vanessa, and you don't eat me.
I used to love a steak. Okay. I can like live for it if I could. Yeah,
sorry, I was just like, why am I talking to you?
Describe it more. What did it taste like?
But you know, well, for me, I can usually only have like one or two spoons and I'm like, okay, that's quite rich. I'm going to leave it there. But this, it had like so many crunchy peppercorns and lovely bits in. It was like really delicious. Deviled eggs are everywhere at the moment, which I'm here for. They've got one with smoked eel on, which was delicious.
Ooh, that's not a bit of me, actually.
Oh, no. People think they don't like smoked eel. It's really good. Ooh. Do you like smoked salmon?
No.
Oh, okay, fine. I was going to say, if you do, then you're fine. I'll let you off. crab on toast. Would you like that?
Yes, love crab on toast.
Nice. That was really good. But even just like entire fish that are all really crispy and delicious with like lovely potatoes, really good puddings. But yeah, would really recommend it. It's so romantic and gorgeous, like really dark lit. It's got like the nice sort of French bistro curtains, candle lights. Yeah, really good restaurant. So,
is it hard to get a table?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, you tell me.
My brother-in-law actually booked it, so fine. I can't say.
I might have a look later.
Have a look. Maybe try for a lunch or something. Yeah, but no, I think it's quite small, but and it's, you know, very popular. But I don't think it's like, you can't get it until 11 p.m. in months' time.
Also, sometimes when they open the bookings like a month or 2 months ahead, you can just pick a random day like a month away, and then you have something to look forward to.
Exactly.
So you know,
I'm with you on that.
I've done that at Bistro Freddy. I think I had to book it like 3 months ago. It's in June.
Yeah, maybe that's a good thing. Sapna did that as well. I remember she's like, was it worth it? And I was like, yeah, it was brilliant. And then she booked it. She was like, I can't get a table for months. But when she actually went, it was great. Yeah. So
when you went to Brito, I did that. Soon as I saw your pictures, I was like, got to book one. We're going on Thursday.
Oh, good name. Have you been before?
No, okay. I'm very excited. It was, looks so cute.
Excellent. Get the pasta a la vodka. Okay. Rightio. So our next section is SL Picks, where we're each going to go around and talk about something interesting or fun we've seen across the Sherlux network, whether that's TikTok or the site or the community. So yeah, Maya, again, I'll start with you. What have you chosen?
My pick is our new video series, Style Insider.
Yes.
Where we go inside people's wardrobes. We've had Lucy Williams. I loved that one. That was so good. And I've been told Monique is coming out very soon.
Exciting.
You can watch it on the YouTube channel, but also we cut it down for reels on Instagram if you want to check it out there. But I just love being nosy and going inside people's wardrobes and seeing things. It's not just about new product. It's about things that they've loved for 10 years and they've never gotten rid of, or they found in a market somewhere and this is a story behind it. I just think it's really, really nice watch.
It's almost like the identity of someone. Yeah. Like you're looking into someone's life. Like the way, also with Lucy, I really liked how she described, you know, some of the bits. And I was like, oh.
It's cozy, yeah, I think. It's like
really
a cozy watch.
It. Yeah, I liked because it was Lucy and Lou, sort of talking first about the pieces and then delving in. And then I loved like seeing the photos of her wearing it in different ways based on what she'd said earlier.
Exactly.
I just love Lucy. I think she's just... Yeah. She's one of the few people for me who anything she does or says, I am just like, what's that? What's that? Like, I'm really interested in all her recommendations. Yeah. So I loved that segment.
Really nice.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing who else we get.
I can't wait for Monique's because I think she finds really cool. The most amazing pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And she nips and tucks them in a way that they're just perfect.
Yeah, it's her styling as well that makes them super exciting.
Yeah.
Ooh,
Vanessa? Well, mine is the one that you did. I'm your biggest fan. It was the TikTok about books when you went into Waterstones.
Oh, yeah, that was
which
fun.
I enjoyed so much. I love letting other people tell me what they've bought in stores and like the book version. Like, I love when we do it with fashion, but the book version is just like, gives me so much joy. Because sometimes, you know, there's a lot of new books coming out and I mean, it's running behind constantly.
I know, it's nice
to like get some of the classics back as well that like you might have forgotten about.
Sometimes it's great to know all the brand new things that are out, but sometimes it's just as valuable to be like, okay, what's a little bit older but still worth sort of thinking about or investigating? Yeah.
And bookshops are overwhelming every time you walk in. And it's like, I don't even know. When you stand in front of the shelves and you just have, you know, the titles and the authors, I'm like, I don't know what to pick.
I actually find it even hard, like... doing research for new books, as in I say doing research, that is sound makes it sound like I'm
like
spending
my
a lot of time.
She's at home with all her boards, like, which book?
When I Google what book should I read, I still find the lists online quite hard to choose from.
So many.
Because you can't get a real vibe for what the book is, slash whether it's going to suit your personal preference for reading. So I like how you speak to camera and describe it in your own voice, and it's way more engaging and I can understand whether I will or not enjoy the book.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I do like Waterstones, and I think Foyles do it really well as well. You know, they do, and indie bookshops obviously do it impeccably, but those little sort of handwritten notes people who work there are like, oh, I loved this one because of X, Y, and Z for fans of these authors. I think
that's really cute,
a really nice search, and you don't get that from Amazon. So
no, you absolutely don't. Yeah.
Okay, glad you enjoyed the feature.
And this sounds a bit bad, but I've chosen one of my pieces as my SL pick, but
not
because I'm like, oh, what a brilliant feature, even though I really enjoyed writing it, but just because it was a super fun subject that I wanted to write about anyway, which is the sort of current trend for food to just be like completely over the top and just all about what it looks like and presentation and all those fun things. The girls who work on the wedding edition just happened to be writing a piece on food trends, so we're like, aha, I'll write it. But yeah, I interviewed some really interesting people. So there's a London food styling company called Hands London, who've done so many amazing events where they sort of serve everything on stainless steel, which is a bit of a trend for the moment, like those refi cups and everything. But there's like lots of that going on everywhere else as well. But like styling it like that, you know, Laura Jackson did a really good explainer video recently about the current trend for butter molds. Like lots of places are just sort of creating these amazing sort of styled butter, or like, you know, Imogen Kwok, who is just an amazing food sort of, I guess, food stylist, a bit of everything with food and fashion. But yeah, she's done like edible peanuts that I've had, which are sort of peanut pearls. So they've got a spray painted silver, but they're peanuts, but they're served like
So they look like a pearl.
Wow. Exactly. You eat them in a peanuts and they're like the table edit, who's another amazing person who does something similar. She did that Monica Vinader breakfast that everyone was sort of looking at on Instagram a few weeks ago because it was everywhere. But I think their new collection celebrated pearls and she'd done like butter pearls and things. So just like taking, you know, good food, but just sort of elevating it and making it a big talking point, whether that's, you know, at a wedding or an event. But also I think they are like, some of them are fun things you could just do at home if you just wanted to be super extra, if you have
like
people
a
around. Because in the piece there's a sort of Berlin based sort of fashion food styling company called Herrlich Dining, who I've seen a lot on Instagram, and one of theirs they had like dangling baguettes, which sounds dreadful but looked like really cool in the context of what they were doing. But again, in the piece, like, yeah, obviously I can't imagine any brides to be being like, let's get those dangling breads.
Did they eat them off?
Yeah, have you hung out the bread yet?
Yeah. Can we just get
that
down?
Did you just like pick your own bread?
Yeah. Oh, I don't need flowers. I'll have baguettes.
Exactly. So, yeah, some of them were quite over the top. I think, I mean, obviously, you're married, Maya, but did you sort of take any inspiration from little or sort of wider trends you'd seen online, but just sort of taken them back three steps?
I don't think we did in terms of presentation and anything sort of out there like that, to be honest. We were really focused on food.
Yeah.
And we wanted it to look nice, but our whole menu was sushi related. So we wanted it to be presented like we were in Pen Yen, essentially. So that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
It's not about being ridiculous and over the top. It's about creating a moment.
Exactly. Mm. And actually one of the girls I interviewed for the piece said, like, their whole thing, there's all these like fun, extravagant things, but it's just about celebrating the ordinary moments and then making the celebratory moments even more of a thing. So that could be with a cake, whether even if that's someone's birthday or something, but just thinking like, how can we present it? How can we pile them up? Or how can we?
I also think with food,
get people excited.
Why not? That's the best way to do it. Instead of spending tons and tons of money on flowers and decor, that actually is quite bad for the environment.
Yeah.
Often just goes straight in the bin afterwards and dies.
It's true.
Why not do it for food and then you eat it and enjoy it afterwards? It's way more sustainable.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, that was my feature. Mm. I enjoyed writing more than anything else. So this section of the podcast is called News Review. So I thought we could talk a little bit about Back to Black, which is the new film that's come out, that's Sam Taylor Johnson's new film. It came out last week, but I don't know if you guys saw any of them, but it basically had almost universal sort of trashed, bad, terrible reviews across the board. I've got one here, which is from a really good film website and magazine I like called Little White Lies. And their sort of opening statement is that it's a pointlessly cruel hash of Amy's life. This miserable biopic claims to celebrate the life and music of Amy Winehouse, but instead serves as a ghoulish encapsulation of everything wrong with the music industry and the fame machine. I might have been interested in going to see the film because I do like sort of music biopics and general ones like that. I didn't actually see Elvis, but now I'm in my like Austin Butler era.
You should watch.
It took June 2 and him to be in a bald cap for me to get on board, but I'm here. And he was brilliant in Masters of the Air. But yeah, I will watch that. And I know lots of people liked it, but I think that so many music biopics can be like a real celebration of a person's career and life, even if they've got a really sad backstory or, you know, tragedy happens along the way. I feel like most of them still have this sort of, or any biopic for that matter, any sort of true story memoir on the screen, there's always usually
a celebration or something.
And you know, something that really gets to the heart of who that person was. Whereas I get the impression from the reviews I've read and various things that this sort of bypasses a lot of Amy Winehouse's incredible talent and sort of just focuses on some of the gorier, grittier bits.
I think that's the thing, trying to find like a balance between the two, I haven't watched the film, so I don't know, but from what I've read and what I've seen, people are upset because it's not like focusing on the right things in life and over exaggerating things that people might not want to see. I don't know, but I haven't watched it, so I can't say anything.
Is that because you think they've made the film with the intention to try and entertain people or like shock people through how she was what managed by her father and all of that sort of stuff, as opposed to try and tell the story, her story, in a beautiful way.
I'm not sure, because I think, Mitch Winehouse, her father, comes across apparently quite well in this. And I think,
oh, really? Because the documentary paints him really bad.
Have you seen the 2015 film, Me Too? So I obviously thought, when Amy Winehouse was alive, I thought she was an immense talent. I wouldn't say I was a fan, though. Like, I didn't have her albums or anything like that. But, you know, could obviously see that she was really talented. And I think, if anyone, I don't know if you were living in the UK at the time, I don't know what it was like in Germany, but when she was honestly just being hounded, she was in the paper every day, like being followed around Camden, like, you know, she didn't have much of a life in that sense. She was literally just being hounded all the time. But when I watched Amy, when that came out, it really just changed everything for me, like watching all these amazing old home videos, just like how incredible she was, just seeing her voice always in this natural state, just being amazing. But I think, as you were just saying, Maya, her parents, or her dad especially, does not come across well at all in that. And certainly her string of boyfriends, and particularly Blake Fielder-Civil, who's a big focus of this film, like, he's been credited, well, he said in interviews that he was the one who got her into really hard drugs. Yeah. And I think that's kind of my problem with what I've read about this or heard about this, is that it's kind of whitewashing that thing and making, it's about Blake and Amy's relationship and how in love they were. And I'm sure it still shows other things that happen, but I think it's like sort of honing in on this love story, whereas actually he was very much, from what you hear, read and see in other documentaries, a sort of negative life force.
From what I'm hearing, it feels like entertainment and a film is being prioritised over someone's real life and story.
Yeah, and I know the actress Marissa Abella, she has said in interviews, like, it's her interpretation of Amy Winehouse. She's not trying to be Amy Winehouse. I think this review as well, in Little White Lies, says that she's, you know, that they actually think she's quite good in it, but I think it's just the rest of it that maybe doesn't quite work. And it's weird, because did you ever watch Nowhere Boy, which was the John Lennon film that Sam Taylor-Johnson did, which is where she met Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and now they're married. Yeah. But he was playing John Lennon, and I thought that was a brilliant film.
Was great.
So again,
that,
like, she's really, really great. It's a bit disappointing, I suppose, because I thought she'd do a banging job of this. But I mean, I will watch it at some stage, because it's not fair to talk about a film negatively having not seen it. But
I want to watch it. I still want to see it, but I am shocked at how badly it's gone down. I mean, I don't really remember a film getting one star, to be honest.
Yeah. And I guess, just for balance, you'd say, I saw on Instagram that Charlotte watched it over the weekend and said that she actually quite enjoyed it. So, you know. And now for our final segment, we are going to answer some questions from our Sherlock's community. For future reference, each week there'll be an Instagram story that will go live, and it'll say who's going to be on the podcast that week, and you can ask each of the people any questions you like, and we'll pick one each to talk through. So, Vanessa, I'll come to you first. Somebody has asked you, I'm a 40-year-old woman and I'm looking to transition my life to photography. Have you got any advice?
I love this. I'm like, yes, you change your career. Like, if you want to live your dream, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like there's never, like, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you find something you're passionate about and you want to go with it, that's great. Choose a niche. That's like my number. Because the problem is, when people start getting into the creative industry, they want to do everything.
Yeah.
But it works so much better if you choose one thing and become really good at it. And then people will come to you for that one thing.
Yeah.
So choose your sort of fighter, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And then get some people together, shoot something. It won't make you any money at first, but it's important to build a bit of a portfolio. And what you can do is submit your shoots to magazines. There's a lot of magazines out there, and I'm not just talking little magazines, the Vogues that aren't like the main Vogues, like, all smaller Vogues do accept editorial entries.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't get any money for it, but you do get quite a bit of exposure, and it adds to your portfolio.
Yeah.
So that's a very good way to, like, start to get into things and work with people, get to know people. And then once you've built a bit of a portfolio, and you can also shoot by yourself, you know, anything you can do, then it's really important to contact companies you'd like to work for and send them your sort of mini portfolio, tell them why you want to work for them, and choose people who, you know, really align with your sort of style of photography. And you won't get a response 90% of the time, because there's so many people out there, but, like, there will be that 10%. Yeah.
Or you might get banked and then, you know, exactly. 6 months later or so, yeah. I'd be like, oh, hang on, someone emailed about that food sheet or something.
It's just, and it takes a little bit of time. I mean, you can't expect to be successful in the next, like, 2 months. But, like, if you have the time and the energy and you keep doing these sort of things, like, eventually, like, it will pay off. And obviously, the more you shoot with other people as well, they might know someone who knows someone. This is the creative industry, isn't it?
Like everyone, creating that network,
Exactly. You create your network. You might even be interested in assisting a photographer, maybe, just to see how they work, really getting involved. And then, it'll come naturally eventually. It's just a patience game.
Yeah.
Great advice. Maya, somebody asked you, have you got any good recommendations for a week away in June? Beach vibes, but not too expensive.
One might be really obvious, but I think it's a safe bet for good weather, good food and good beaches, and that's Mallorca.
Yes,
not that expensive. If you can be flexible with like the days of the week that you're traveling on, I think you can get good prices on flights. I'd recommend probably staying in an Airbnb as opposed to a hotel because some of the hotels can be a bit pricier. Yeah. But I think the food and drink in general in Mallorca is very, 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 very good, like London standard, but actually pretty affordable.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's probably my number one. And then somewhere me and Callum went to quite a long time ago now, but I feel like it's really untapped and really not touristy, but beautiful, is Rovinja in Croatia.
Oh, nice.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
There's only sort of like 10 restaurants maybe, two beach options, but it's really not touristy, so
that's
you
nice.
Can really relax.
So if you're going for a week, you don't need 10 restaurants, do you?
And it's got lovely accommodation. It's quite like boutique-y. I feel like it's really unknown and is still like really cool.
That sounds good.
I love both those places. I always recommend Barcelona as somewhere to go for a quick bit of sun and you know, fairly affordable, but it's more of a city break, whereas Mallorca you can actually do the whole like holiday beach vibe and then dip into Palma and have that bit more of a nightlife restaurant scene and then go back over and relax on the beach.
That's nice.
You do a bit of both.
And you need to go.
Ooh, summer holiday.
I'm on the countdown. I can't wait for some summer holidays now.
And then somebody has asked me what's top of my restaurant hit list at the moment. I mean, I know I say it all the time, but there's just so many openings left, right and centre. It's exciting. But yeah, hard to keep on top of them all. But three that I'm excited about. One is the Dover, which is a sort of very glamorous, gorgeous looking Italian-American restaurant that's opened. It was former COO of Soho House has opened it. It's really hard to get into, but everyone I know who has been has had a lovely time.
Whereabouts is it?
So Mayfair, of course. That's neck of the woods that everyone like, the prawn cocktail, but it looks very gorgeous and glamorous and sort of candle lit. Mm. Lots of velvet curtains on gorgeous vibe. You mentioned Bistro Freddy earlier, so they've just launched a new restaurant around the corner from our very office.
I know, I really want to go.
Crispin at Studio Voltaire. So Studio Voltaire is a sort of gallery that's just around the corner from here basically, but Bar Crispin is part of the Bistro Freddy group, and they've got an amazing one in Spitalfields, and this is another sort of offshoot. It looks so cool in there. I've got a table booked for next week, but
I need to book one.
You work fast.
I know.
She's in there.
I'm in there. But it looks really good, and I think once a few people from the office have gone, I can imagine it will become a bit of a staple for us. But it doesn't look exactly the same as Bistro Freddy, but it's got that like lovely vibe to it, like quite arty but bistro-y, but again, just like really nice menu with a bit of everything on, something for everyone. And then finally, ABC Kitchens, which has opened at the Emery, which is the new hotel in Knightsbridge from the Maybourne group, who have the Connaught and Claridge's and the Barclay. ABC Kitchens is an amazing, like, highly established restaurant in New York, and the head chef has brought his concept over to the UK. So it's his first London launch, and it's part of the new amazing hotel that's open there this month.
What sort of food is it?
It's a bit of everything, but I think he his thing is sauces. So he likes to create amazing jus and
what
sauces.
A niche.
Yeah, but no, genuinely, like pea guacamole is like one of his
I actually read a feature on that in the newspaper this weekend. Yeah.
But no, he's
that sounds right.
Creative, but not like wacky creative, just like interesting. But
sauce is important.
Sauce is very exactly.
Yeah. It annoys me so much. And I put some sauce on it.
Exactly. So I think if you haven't been to New York, and I haven't been to his original restaurant, but I think it's a great way to get a taste of New York in London.
Nice. Yeah. Great recommendation.
Yes. I know. Writing those down.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. As always, we'll put links in the notes below so everyone can look at what we've been talking about. Thanks both. I enjoyed that. Nice new fresh format. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Do write any questions into the Instagram box and on the Shillets community. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.